Coming up on today's show,
sports was an important way that they maintained hope in the refugee camps. And I understand this about sport, that it's a way to cultivate courage and strength and to generate hope in something greater.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram so that you can engage with me and the show that way. Look for those logos, those links there for whichever platform or platforms, plural, you enjoy using. A reminder as well about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group, which is free to join and which you can also find a link for on catholicsportsradio.net. There are past guests as well as listeners of this show in that group. Remember, too, that any and all of those give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We're going to be talking some boxing on this episode, and in that sport, you see how the participants train as much on the defensive side as the offensive side, meaning, while yes, you certainly have to be strong and calculated and opportunistic when throwing a punch, it's equally important to not only be able to absorb a punch and minimize its impact on you, but be able to anticipate and see when the next punch is coming so that you can withstand that left or that right that your opponent is going to throw at you. Satan, unfortunately, throws a lot at us in our everyday lives, seemingly as much, if not more, than when we live in such a way that is evident that we have trained ourselves to go on the offensive, meaning show others that we have Christ in us. As such, we need to be ready to withstand what the evil one may try to knock us down with. When I cite scripture passages on this show, the absolute overwhelming majority of the time, they are from the New American Bible. If you'll allow me, John 14, 30 and 31 are very relevant here, and I found a translation, a commentary, if you will, that presented it as follows, quote, "The attacks of the world are calculated but can be anticipated by those who follow the law of the Lord. As we anticipate the attack, we diffuse the power it has to shape and disrupt our lives as we respond through the power of God in us," end quote. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a licensed clinical psychologist and licensed marriage and family therapist who has seemingly done it all sports-wise. She currently participates in boxing, having played sports her entire life, including basketball, softball, running, and bodybuilding. Her athletic background also includes collegiate basketball, Division I offers, options to play internationally, and playing with a WNBA farm team. She has coached youth basketball as well as a senior women's Olympic basketball team and has a sports ministry currently that provides sports-oriented training and integrates faith with an emphasis on cultivating virtues. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Lisa Petronis.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you and all your listeners.
Likewise. I'm grateful for you making time for this. Folks, Lisa is actually based and calling in from San Diego, which is a good ways away from where she was born and raised. Lisa, share with the audience where you grew up as well as the presence of the Catholic faith in the household when you were a young girl.
Yeah, of course. I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It was a heavily Catholic community. There were churches of every ethnicity. There were Lithuanian churches, Polish, German. Those were the ethnic groups that were concentrated in the area. And the church was very strong in those days in that area. And I'm a cradle Catholic, and my family is always practiced the faith, and I'm one of six kids. So there were four girls and two boys, and I'm third in the birth order.
Wow. Wow. Well, having heard about the presence of the Catholic faith, share with the audience now the cool story about a notable athlete in your family.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So my grandfather, Max Harnisch, was a beloved boxing trainer. He was a boxer himself and eventually became a referee. And he, at one point, had a gym, and it brought the east side and west side of Grand Rapids together. And that was a beautiful time in boxing where Buster Mathis was up and coming in that era and the Mayweathers. But what was most notable to me, I appreciated much more so after, was how the boxing gym really brought people from all different backgrounds together and gave them an option at not just fighting in the ring and competing and becoming champions, but really becoming champions in life. There were many stories of individuals whom my grandfather's life touched through boxing. And he was an excellent role model, not just in the ring and in the corner of the men he coached and eventually refereed, but also in the Catholic faith. He was a devout Catholic man and a man of few words, but really his life illuminated what I think is the best of our Catholic beliefs and the expression of them. So he's been a powerful role model for me my entire life and the reason why I got into boxing to begin with.
Mm, yeah, I can tell. I can tell. What a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. I should have let you finish when you were talking about growing up and the family that you came from. Were you going to many or any Catholic schools, say from kindergarten all the way through college?
We moved out of Michigan when my father got transferred. He went into the Drug Enforcement Agency. He was a police officer in Grand Rapids. But for my young life, we were at St. Adelbert's, which was a beautiful church, a basilica of grand stature is where I met God, was in that place, and through the nuns. So I went to the school there until we relocated to Southern California, which was during grade school. So it was a beautiful time. There were nuns, and it was a very busy place, active, and that's where I was introduced to the faith and God, and we were able to attend Mass every day. It was and I think that's where I was really formed in the faith and was able to appreciate the beauty of the sacraments, the silence of God, and the way he reaches down from the heavens to communicate with us as a young child. So it was a beautiful time, really. I would say the foundation of my faith was created there in that place with those sisters. And I'm so grateful to my family for putting aside the funds because we didn't have a lot of money at that time, but it was important. And so all four of us at the time, my two younger sisters hadn't been born yet, but we all attended the Basilica of St. Adelbert's and the school as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow, fantastic.
So grateful for that.
So getting back to sports then, as I mentioned in the intro, you played pretty much anything and everything sports-wise.
Anything and everything, absolutely. There I was the tetherball champ. I loved tetherball in the Catholic schools. But yeah, I played everything. And in those days, the Catholic schools, they had, you know, a rich, you know, connection with sports. And so there was, you know, sports and the Catholic faith was, you know, there was a time where it was, you know, they went hand in hand. So it was very easy to participate in sports, and I loved it. So it was a natural fit for me.
But when you moved from Grand Rapids out to California, were you still attending Catholic schools? Because as much as you did play sports, I wonder if it ever got to a point where sports took over and maybe your Catholic faith kind of fell back into the rearview mirror.
Well, in California, it was not the same as Grand Rapids. And it felt, I was a little sad, to be honest with you, because we came to Southern California and the architecture of the church and, you know, there weren't as many churches, and it was very different. So it was a bit of a culture shock for me. And my parents did commute with us. We found a carpool, and the nearest Catholic school was quite a ways away. And eventually, when we went into middle school, my parents made the decision for us to go to public school. It became too cumbersome for them. And so we transitioned, and then there was a church, but the church, I would say maybe it wasn't as vibrant. So it was, I would say it wasn't a personal choice that the church was different in Southern California. So that had an influence, I would say. And I'm sure affected my experience tremendously. And yeah, I would say maybe sports at a certain point did become more front and center because of the accessibility. It was just different in that neighborhood and in that community, whereas in Southern California, where we lived, it may have been different in other places. It just wasn't as highly concentrated community of devout Catholics, and the churches were just so far away. There wasn't as much activity to engage in.
I see.
So it would be a little bit later that I just had to dive in deep on my own and, you know, just make a commitment to, you know, to really grow in the faith. And that's definitely what I did. It wasn't as easy, but I'm definitely glad I did. I realized probably in my early 20s, like, it was important for me to, you know, take control of my faith, that if I didn't, it was, you know, it was just going to stagnate. You know, the joy and the beauty and the goodness that I'd experienced as a child could maybe slip through my fingertips. I realized that, praise God. And so I started to dive into our faith and study it more seriously, and you know, put myself on a discipline of prayer. But for me, that wasn't maybe as challenging for others because of what I'd experienced at St. Adelbert, that it wasn't so much the nuns, it was the encounter in God that I experienced in the basilica, in the quiet. When I would run errands, I would be in the basilica, and I experienced the closeness of God. Then I never forgot that. And I knew what that was like, and I didn't want to lose that. And so I was inclined toward a more contemplative spirituality to begin with. And that's must have been what God knew was best for me. So it wasn't maybe as difficult for me as for some to dedicate, you know, more hours to silent prayer and study of scripture and study more deeply our faith and the sacraments and just really diving in more deeply. And it was a beautiful time, beautiful season. While I was, you know, really getting, trying to be more serious about training, and, you know, at that time, you know, really was dreaming of going to the WNBA, and it was a kind of an exciting time for women in sports. And so there was a lot happening there.
Yeah.
But the church, I would say, is just she's always been my mother. And so I wanted to, you know, stay close to her, Holy Mother Church, and the Lord, and Our Lady, and all the saints. And, you know, so from that time, really, it's, you know, there's been, you know, a close relationship between sports and my faith, you know, because as we were meditating with at the start of the show with John 14, it's, you know, sport, you know, prepared me and prepares me every day for the battle that I have to face against the evil one.
Amen.
To do the work of God. You know, as the Latin saying goes, or the Vulgate from Job 7, you know, man's life on earth is combat. So sports, you know, has always been for me a very tangible and concrete way that I strengthen myself to do what, you know, to me has always been the most important thing, which would be to do the will of God and serve him, which, you know, I always knew, fortunately, from my childhood was where I would experience the ultimate joy and freedom. And thanks be to God, you know, because I think that's a blessing. I didn't realize until much later in my life that not everybody had that type of experience. And obviously, as a child, it wasn't due to my own efforts. I just showed up, and I was just being a kid. And the Lord reached me in a very intimate way. And I never forgot that. And that sustained me through my entire life. And which is why I'm so convicted today in our faith and in the church. And it's not hard for me. But yeah, sports has always been, you know, I'd say right there, hand in hand with my faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a case could be made for a lot of the following being present in athletics. But Lisa, you specialize in the treatment of trauma, depression, anxiety, burnout, as well as the integration of Catholic spiritual and religious beliefs into psychological treatment. I'm fascinated to hear more about this, if you could enlighten us, please.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I actually did my dissertation on the Lost Boys from Sudan, who were the largest group of unaccompanied minors in human history. So I'd seen a video on some children orphaned in the war in Uganda. And, you know, the Lord, you know, put it on my heart to go in that direction. And there's a long story behind that, but eventually did a 5-year research study. And that's what trained me in the understanding of trauma and really the intersection between, you know, trauma and faith, because much of their story had to do with their formation in the refugee camps and the Catholic Church that was there in the refugee camps and how instrumental that was in helping them to cope with some of the horrors of war. And then later on in my professional life, people started discovering that I was Catholic. In those days, there wasn't as much, I guess, internet advertisement, and you were just kind of out there doing your work, and there wasn't a kind of Catholic psychologist title, you know, or these platforms that advertise such things. And so people started discovering that I was Catholic, and what I found, and the Lord put on my heart as well, is that there was a need for people to receive therapeutic services that could integrate in an intelligent way the Catholic faith, because it wasn't something that was easy to find. And I think it's still challenging for people. That's what I hear when people call me, is they've had a hard time finding someone in my field that is Catholic. And then people tell me a real Catholic. So I learned there in the popular culture, there was a distinction between a real Catholic and other Catholics. But anyway, I don't advertise myself as a real Catholic. But when people ask me, I say, yes, you know, as I've told you and our listeners today, you know, I love our faith. And I'm very happy when I can, you know, help others to integrate our faith into their healing journeys. And it's such an asset when people are struggling with either trauma, like the Lost Boys, and people have gone through all kinds of, you know, difficult things in life that create a traumatic response, or depression or anxiety. So I really praise God that He's given me the privilege to be in a position to help people in this way that I do in my professional life and my private practice. And it all goes back to those early years in the church when I was a little girl at 5 and just, you know, contemplating God in a pew in the Basilica of St. Adalbert. Who knew all these years later, you know, that would be the source of a blessing, you know, for somebody else, because I could minister in a way that was authoritative and convicted, because it's been my experience with God. So it's a real joy what I do in my professional life. And I'm very grateful that God has given me an opportunity to help people in the way that I do.
Yeah, I can tell.
And I'm very touched by the lives of people that I encounter.
I can tell by the way that you speak about it. And folks, as you can tell, Lisa is doing a lot of really interesting work that incorporates her Catholic faith. Although, by the way, she does manage to somehow train 6 days a week at an inner city boxing gym. And in the lead up to today, even told me, this is a natural next ministry for me. Meanwhile, this is my ministry. The day after this episode comes out will be exactly 4.5 years since the first ever episode of Catholic Sports Radio came out.
Wow, praise God. Thank you, Bruce, for what you do.
You're welcome.
This is awesome.
I'm proud to have never missed once in all that time, 235 consecutive episodes, including this one that you're listening to. Praise God, as Lisa said, for that, as well as the fact that I have managed to be disciplined enough to make time to ensure that you get a new episode of CSR week in and week out, month in and month out. That said, though, when I say it's a ministry, that includes my doing this all by myself, as well as my not getting any income from doing this, nor having any sponsors. Mm-hmm. As a result, any and all expenses that you hear me give examples of over a number of episodes of this show have to somehow be paid out of my own pocket. In fact, I just yesterday saw an email come through with a receipt of the recurring annual payment for the security solution for the website, and that, yikes, was for $200. That's a tough pill for me to swallow. Mm-hmm. So folks, when you evaluate the tithing that you're doing, I would greatly appreciate if you would kindly consider my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, especially if you are finding value in the work that I'm doing. If you feel you're benefiting from listening to this show, I ask that you kindly help me out by way of the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. Through that button on the website, you can contribute whatever amount you're comfortable with by way of simply typing it in yourself, meaning you're not forced to choose from a list of predetermined amounts. Alternatively, as some have done instead, you can get in touch with me via social media or email bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending a check through the mail. As a thank you to anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode, with your permission, of course, as you've heard me do in the past for guests and listeners who have made a gift to my ministry. Or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous, in which case I will give a generic on-air thank you without naming names. Your support of my work really means a lot to me. I'm grateful for you listening and for considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing.
Well, Bruce, I'm so grateful for the work that you've done, and the fact that I'm here today is only because you've been brave enough and self-sacrificial enough to do what you just described. So my husband and I would like to cover that cost. You said it was $200.
Oh,
and
wow.
We believe in what you're doing, and our love of sports and the faith is so sincere. And you are doing something, I think, that is helping the church and helping our culture to reclaim sports for the good. And it's a ministry that definitely I want to support.
Wow.
So I encourage our listeners to get behind you with me in whatever way they can as well. This is awesome.
Thank
I'm
you.
Really delighted
Thank
to be
you
here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm very grateful to you and your husband. Thank you for that. Lisa, let's get back to talking about sports a little bit. Talk about a joint fundraiser you're involved with to support a school in South Sudan that you founded with the Lost Boys of Sudan, and why I'm bringing it up in a sports context.
Right. How do all these things fit together? That's what my husband was asking me the other day. But what I learned from the friends that I made through my research and ministry with the Lost Boys was that sports was an important way that they maintained hope in the refugee camps. And I understand this about sport, that it's a way to cultivate courage and strength and to generate hope in something greater, that there's a way through, there's a way out, that a person can be a champion. So I've always known this about sports, but also what I learned from my friends in the refugee camps and in very difficult situations in other countries is that sports is as integral as faith, you know, and it's important. And this school that I helped to found is in one of the poorest, most remote areas in the world. And it started with about 400 students in a village where there was no school. They don't have access to resources. They, as you might imagine, don't have food, don't have clothing, don't have medicines, healthcare, all of it, you know, is very impoverished. And so helping the school through boxing, we want to bring boxing as a sport to the school while also raising funds for other supplies. And so it's a natural ministry because, you know, what I'm doing, I want to share. Like I told you, I love boxing. It's in my blood, but it's been such a joy for me at this stage in my life to be able to train every day and to work towards something greater, to perfect this skill, you know, in the sport of boxing and to compete. And I want to be able to share that with the school. And so the president of the foundation and the co-founder of the school said, absolutely, 100%. You know, if we go there and we bring boxing, it's just what they need. It'll give them energy. It'll give them hope. It'll give them something to work towards. And it will give them an opportunity to cultivate themselves physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Mm. And besides that, so the gym I'm training at, there's a youth team. And because it's in the inner city, the youth on the team, their families don't have the funds to pay for the costs for the kids to compete. There are costs associated with sparring, travel fees, competition fees. The fact that they can't afford to compete, you know, it was sad to me. And I learned that the coach was, you know, picking up the expenses, and it was getting to be unmanageable, and there was a shortfall. And so the kids were missing out on opportunities. And also there's a lot of kids in the community. We were at a basketball court working on basketball one day, and a bunch of kids from the neighborhood came up, and my oldest son started talking about boxing, and the little boy was there just sitting watching, and they gathered around. He said, you know, I would like to box. Mm. I would like to box. And so it was just a sign. It's like this kid, unless there's not a bridge, you know, he's not going to be able to box, but he was so sincere. It was so heartwarming. He says, I want to box. And so that stuck with me. And it's not just the kids that are on the team. It's the other kids that could benefit from boxing too, that I want to be able to give an opportunity to. So I talked to the coach, and he was so enthusiastic about teaming up with the school in South Sudan and connecting the kids, you know, together to form a family, and for the kids to know that there's other people on the other side, other kids on the other side of the world who, you know, they can help, and we can form a little family in that these kids in South Sudan and here in the neighborhood nearby where I live can know that they're loved by God, and that there's people who are looking out for them and care about their well-being and are willing to put in some time and effort and money so that they can have a good life.
Fantastic.
And through the sport of boxing can learn how not to just be champions in the ring, but, you know, champions in their life, and know that with God that they can conquer anything.
Fantastic.
So it's that's how it's natural for me. I'm just excited because I see, you know, I want to share that with other people. And I think that God has given me certain gifts, you know, through all of my experiences that are helpful to, you know, facilitate these relationships and, you know, create these good fruits, you know, from the abundant blessings that he's bestowed. So I'm really grateful for your listeners to take the time to get to know me and some of the people that are I'm surrounded with, that perhaps, you know, they might be interested in getting involved and helping with as well.
Yeah, folks, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode, not only to Lisa's website, but also to the California Lost Boys and Girls Foundation. Their president said it was sport in the refugee camp that helped him to cope with the horrors of war. So you can see how Lisa's tying this all together. And on a related note, Lisa, you have also done missionary work in Kingston, Jamaica.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm all over the place, aren't I? I don't, praise God. I mean, he said he gives us these adventures, and it's just a joy. But yeah, I went with, I go with my oldest son. Our youngest son is a little bit too young to start doing that ministry, but it's through the Missionaries of the Poor, Father Ho Lung's community. And they're just wonderful. It's just a fantastic, I really highly recommend, you know, that, you know, anyone interested in doing ministry work who hasn't, you know, done it, you know, it's a great, you know, opportunity to help. They serve the, you know, what's considered in Kingston, the castaways, you know, disabled children that the families are too poor to care for, with severe disabilities. So that's part of their ministry. They have a wing of AIDS patients. They have a wing of elderly. They have a wing of women with small children and, you know, health problems. Mm. And the community, they do so much good work. They're absolutely beloved in Kingston, Jamaica. We drive around town in a big pickup truck we get in the back of. And the community, it's just so beautiful, because you see in the faces and the joy and response of the people in Kingston to the brothers and the sisters, because there's a sister house there as well. We stay with the brothers at the monastery, but there's also a community of sisters in that region that cares for the women. And the community is so grateful. And it's such a beautiful witness to the love of God, you know, the time that they take and the joy and the effort they put into to caring for the vulnerable ones is just a beautiful experience. And I'm, you know, just so happy to be a part of that as well. And to be able to bring my family into it is such a joy too. It's delightful. And it's something that I thought was important to introduce and will eventually introduce my youngest son when he's old enough, just to show, you know, that, you know, there's, you know, how valuable it is to give back and the presence of suffering in the world and the how important it is that we, you know, we are strong and that we, you know, we're strong enough to put the effort out to help. And so I'm grateful that God has, you know, given me the strength to do good things in his kingdom and build it up, because it's really touching. Yes, those sisters and monks are wonderful. It's a real joy to serve alongside them. It's one of those things you feel like, wow, I get so much out of this. It almost seems, you know, strange, because it's so joyful to be around them. And yeah, the people are so humble. It's amazing. They're so strong. They inspire me every time I go. You know, the people in the facilities, they're so strong. They inspire me.
Mm-hmm. Something that you sent me said that you did detention ministry.
I do that too. I love that too. It's it's just amazing to me. I go into the youth detention with the boys, and you know, you go in there and I see, you know, sometimes they can look a little hard, but it's so touching to me. And they respond. It's like I bring the holy cards, and sometimes I bring music, and they'll, you know, they just become so open. You know, when I'm there, they say, you know, oh, did you bring holy cards? And it's like passing out baseball cards. You know, like, oh, do you have this one or that one? They're like trading. And then someone gave me, you know, some more, you know, contemporary music. And I play, you know, I try to play things that's, you know, relevant to their age group and whatnot. I'm, you know, a little older, obviously. So I try to find out what they like. But then it's so touching. They ask me to play the hymns.
Wow.
You know, they say, oh, can you play Open My Eyes, Lord? Can you play Open My Eyes? You know, so they have these favorite hymns that they want me to play. And so it's really touching. It's, I think, a real gift to be able to go in there. It's come from such difficult circumstances. And so it's a joy just, you know, being able to communicate to them that, you know, God has a plan, you know, for their lives, despite what they've been through, and to maybe, you know, play a small part in them making a change for the better, so that they can get out of that cycle of incarceration and violence that for many of them is, you know, multi-generational. So it's, that's a real joy. It's, I really love that. I've been doing that on and off for maybe 18 years.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's in your local community, I take it?
Yes, yes. There's a couple of, you know, I went to a pretty far off one when I lived a little bit further south. But yeah, there's two male detention facilities nearby. Yes. And there's always a need in our parish for detention ministers as well. So I was... again, kind of a natural ministry for me. And I've always loved it. I really love that too.
Well, typically we close by me asking the guests how long they've been in the sacrament of holy matrimony and about the family that they and their spouse have made. And while I do certainly want you to share those details with us, tell us also about not only how much sports is played in the Patronus household, but integrating sports as a complement to your Catholic faith in raising your kids.
Yeah, so 25 years in running for me and my husband, but we've always felt that, you know, sports was integral in raising our sons. And so we've had them in all sports, you know, from the time they were, you know, walking, and they've loved it too. So our two sons have played flag football and parochial school football, basketball, baseball.
Wow.
And now our whole family is doing boxing. Our oldest son went to Division I, you know, playing football.
Ah.
He probably could have gone, you know, even further with baseball. But at one point he made a choice to focus on football. So we obviously supported that and played. I think my husband calculated it, 56 straight NCAA games.
Wow.
Starting. Yeah. In his first couple of years, he played.
Wow.
both ways. And he got an extra year. He got an extra COVID year. So he played 5 years of collegiate football. And our youngest son now is doing travel baseball and boxing and basketball. But we've always, our whole family has always position sports, you know, alongside our faith. Obviously, Christ at the center, the most important thing is faith. But it's been a very helpful platform to teach the faith. It's something that's, you know, they can relate to. And that has made it, I think, you know, forming them in the faith for myself and my husband much easier, you know, because there's so many lessons that come from sports that directly tie to our faith, and also being able to help them to, you know, turn to God and humble themselves so their strength and their might can be exalted. So it's been, again, it's kind of a natural fit for our family. My husband, he is a retired fire captain. He's always played sports. He was one of those individuals I go around town and they're like, oh, he was like the best at football and baseball. He's like a local legend, always played baseball, bodybuilding, football. And then we've always trained with our son. So it's just a source of, you know, health and joy. And so we've always been able to train with them, been able to connect with really good people in the sports community who are also faithful.
Mm.
So it's just been a real blessing. And we're overjoyed that we've been able to sustain, you know, the good health to be able to engage in those sports with them, and that God has blessed us with all the good people that have helped our sons to cultivate their interest in sports. And it's just been a source of real joy, you know, the ups and the downs. There's been a lot of ups and downs, you know, on that journey to, you know, scholarships. There's a lot of, you know, challenges, but it's been a real joy. Yeah,
fantastic.
We're very grateful.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And folks, again, I want to remind you, look for the links that I'm going to put on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net. But Lisa, my gosh, so wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family. And congratulations, 25 years. That's fantastic.
And the listeners, may God, you know, give them a special blessing this day and every day in their homes and families and communities.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. And folks, as a nod to the lifetime that Lisa has spent as a competitor, I thought it would be appropriate if we close this week's episode with a prayer for players. And so let's do that together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, let me play well but fairly. Let competition make me strong but never hostile. Forbid me to rejoice in the adversity of others. See me not when I am cheered, but when I bend to help my opponent up. If I know victory, allow me to be happy. If I am denied, keep me from envy. Remind me that sports are just games. Help me to learn something that matters once the game is over. And if through athletics I set an example, let it be a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.